Hi everyone, welcome to our daily devotionals. Today our passage comes from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. Philippians 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how as a son with the father he has served with me in the gospel. I hope therefore to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men. For he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Amen. In one of Paul's other letters to the church in Corinth, Paul writes, "You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ." You should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. When Paul wrote this to the Corinthian church, he highlighted the importance of having figures in life who can model what following Jesus looks like. And even though our ultimate goal is to be more like Christ himself, God graces us with other brothers and sisters in Christ, other faithful people who can walk alongside us, who can inspire and teach us to live in a manner pleasing to God, in a manner that is worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in our passage today, Paul points us to two brothers worthy of imitating, Timothy and Epaphroditus. These were two role models that Paul wanted to send to the Philippian church so that they can learn what it means to follow Jesus. Let's first take a look at Timothy. Timothy was a fellow minister of Paul, and he was Paul's disciple. And right off the bat, we see that Timothy has this selfless, other-centered servant's heart. Throughout verses 20 to 22, we see that Timothy is genuinely concerned for the welfare of the Philippians. He sought the interest of Jesus Christ above his own, and he served faithfully in the gospel. That was the nature of Timothy's heart. He had this selfless desire to see others flourishing and thriving in the Lord, others growing in what it means to be a kingdom worker, helping the church thrive in the Spirit. That was Timothy's heart. And that's why Paul wanted to send Timothy to the Philippian church. I think on one hand, Timothy had a deep intimacy and a longing for the Philippian church to do well. But Paul also wanted the Philippian church to look at the life of Timothy and to learn what it means to follow Jesus, to live a life worthy of the gospel, and to rejoice in the kingdom and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second figure that Paul points out to the Philippians is Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was the messenger from the Philippians that stayed with Paul in prison. And there are five titles that Paul gives to Epaphroditus. There's brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, messenger to the Philippians, and minister to Paul's need. You know, as we look at the life of Epaphroditus, we see that he had this primary focus to do the work of Christ. And if that meant delivering a gift to Paul in prison, then he did so. If that meant being a worker and soldier, then he did so. Epaphroditus understood that although being a servant of the kingdom may call him to do many different things, the common goal of all these tasks and titles is to do the will of the Lord. And I think that's one of the primary reasons that Paul wants to send Epaphroditus to the Philippian church. He wants to show them the life of Epaphroditus and that he's worthy of imitating. Now, there are some other reasons that Paul wants to send Epaphroditus back, because, you know, the Philippian church Philippians were concerned because they had heard that Epaphroditus had been deathly ill, and they were grieved. They were grieved, and Paul wants to send Epaphroditus back so that they would no longer be in sorrow, but that they might be able to rejoice once again at seeing Epaphroditus again, that they wouldn't be anxious anymore. And so I think that's another reason why Paul wants to send Epaphroditus. He wants them to receive Epaphroditus back into their community, rejoicing that Epaphroditus is well. And but I do think that there is a deeper reason for why Paul wants to send Epaphroditus. He wants to show that Timothy and Epaphroditus are men that are worthy of living the gospel, men who have followed Christ, even to the point of risking their own life. One of the challenging verses for me in this passage here is actually the last verse of Philippians 2. In verse 30, Paul says that Epaphroditus nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. Paul is saying that the Philippian church, the general community of the Philippians, there was something lacking in them, in their service to Paul. And this was actually very striking for me. I actually never caught this before, but you know, Paul, throughout his letter so far, expresses this deep intimacy and gratitude towards the Philippians for their partnership in the gospel through thick and thin, through the tough times and the good times. And they've been with him through his imprisonment as well as the defense and confirmation of the gospel. But now in verse 30, he says that there was something lacking in the Philippian church community, something that Epaphroditus was able to do that the Philippian church was not able to do. You know, Epaphroditus was fully committed to Christ. There are many who claim to serve Christ, yet few can claim they have nearly died in order to serve the Lord. Epaphroditus was to be honored for his tremendous level of commitment. He was also to be honored because he risked his life to serve in ways others could not. The entire church could not leave one country in order to visit Paul in another, but a single person could, and Epaphroditus was that individual. He was to be honored for rising to the challenge to lead and to serve in this unique way. You know, when Epaphroditus had visited Paul in prison, he had become extremely ill, and even to the point of death. But, you know, what I found encouraging in our passage is actually in verse 27. It says that God had mercy on him, on Epaphroditus, and on me, Paul, also. The very thing that sustained Epaphroditus and Paul, even in their other-centered, selfless act of service to the Lord, committing themselves to the will of God, to the work of the kingdom, what sustained them was the very mercy of God. Our God doesn't promise us that we will have no suffering during our serving, but he does offer his mercy. And I think this is a source of rest and encouragement for us as as long as we look to him and continue to follow Christ. There are many martyrs who have long been honored for their sacrifice, and rightfully so. But, you know, I think this verse, verse 30, adds that those who have risked their lives to serve Christ should also be recognized for their efforts. Not all members of a congregation can participate in all forms of service, and those who take on more difficult assignments should be given respect by those who stay behind. You know, we are about to send out two missionaries, actually three missionaries, one-year missionaries out. And over the next few months, we'll be hearing testimonies and taking some time to pray for them and intercede for them. But what would it look like for us to honor them as they dedicate their next year of life to the will of God, however the Holy Spirit wants to use them? What would it look like for us to honor them, to send them out with honor and rejoicing? What would it look like for us to receive our current one-year missionaries back and to honor them, Brandon and Saren in Taiwan, to honor them and to bless them and to rejoice and to learn from their stories what it looks like to follow Christ? You know, I think there are different ways that we can approach this passage today. On one hand, I think this is a call for us to learn what it means to follow Jesus and to take steps out of our comfort zone, to not just rely on our own abilities and our giftings, but to entrust our life into the mercy of God and to see what God might want to do through that. But on the other hand, I think God is also calling us to receive and to honor such men and women who have made that decision to commit their life to following the Lord in such a way that cannot be done by the wider church community. What would it look like for us to honor our missionaries, honor those who have taken steps outside the norm to be obedient to the will of God? So today, let's kind of do those two things. This may have been kind of a devotional that's all over the place, but just two things I want to encourage us to think about is, what would it look like for us to follow the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus, to continue to serve the Lord with a higher level of commitment to his will in his kingdom? And also, what would it look like for us to receive and honor such men and women in our church community, in our life, who have taken those steps to say, yes, I will go and follow where you lead, Lord. Take me and lead me. Here am I, Lord. Send me out. Let's honor such men and women in our church community. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. And God, we thank you, Lord, for your servant Paul and his heart for the Philippian church. We thank you for brothers like Timothy and Epaphroditus who served you faithfully. God, we thank you, Lord, that they have decided to entrust their life into your mercy, not in their own intellect and their own whatever made sense to them, but Lord, we just pray, God, that you would help us to learn from their lives what it looks like to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, I also pray that you would help us to honor such men and women in our day, Lord, people, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have decided to say yes to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Wherever you call them, wherever you have led them, Lord, they have said yes to your call. And so, Lord, we honor them. We rejoice, Lord, in the work that you have been doing in them and through them. So, Lord, would you bless them, Lord? Continue to lead them in your mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining. I'm sorry this is a little bit of a longer devotional, but I hope you're blessed. And let's continue to follow Jesus and bless those who have taken those that extra mile to say yes to wherever God leads. So let's do that today. Have a great day, everyone.